this evening here to the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28. Verse 23 of the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And the result was that some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And I guess that that's the end result of every biblical discourse, every sermon that's preached, or every witness that is witnessed of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The end result is that some believe and some believe not. Now, of course, in keeping with what our brother has already said in regard to Paul's main subject, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's easily for you to see in this 23rd verse that the subject of the 23rd verse in his expounding and explaining and testifying and witnessing is concerning Jesus Christ. And he used both the book of the prophets and the book of Moses. And he did so from morning till evening. All day long he persuaded them concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I certainly believe, and have believed for a long time, that the greatest subject of thought in this universe is the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that all other subjects fall flat when compared to the subject, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that there's anything else worth mentioning apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can talk about whether Reagan's going to be president or Mondale's going to be president or whether we're going to have a woman vice president and all that, but when it's all said and done, it is nothing in compared to this great thought which possesses the mind of a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, you say, I've been around to some of these Bible conferences and that's all they talk about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every preacher does his dead level best to exalt the name of Him whom to know is life eternal. Every preacher in order. And it seems like someone would have something else to say apart from the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul, he said that he was determined not to know anything among the Corinthians and all the philosophers and all the artists and all the poets that stood outside the gate arguing as to how many angels could stand atop of a needle. He said, I'm determined not to know anything about all that. He said, now that may be important in your mind. And he said, there may be a semblance of truth of what you got to say. But he said, as for me, he said, I'm determined not to know anything about that. I'm not going to enter into it. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified is my mind's main thought and my heart's main thought. Yeah. Well, you said, well, look to me. Well, you say it looks to me like that you ought to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, how are you going to explain this? Now, how are you going to explain this here? The apostle says that he's determined not to know anything among save Christ and Him crucified, and yet on the other hand, he said, I have not withheld anything from you fellas. Well, turn with me. I'm going to read this to you in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Turn over there with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Look here what it says in verse 20. Paul said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Nothing that was profitable unto you. Now keep in mind, Paul's mainest thought, Paul's mainest subject is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you everything that there is to know in regard to your beneficial welfare. I've showed you everything. I haven't held anything back. I haven't kept anything for Sunday. It's like old Barnard said one time, he's preaching way back there in the church in Texas, and he said he had him a $50 sermon. And he said he went out there that night and it was raining. He said only about 10 or 15 of them showed up. And he said, I thought about putting that $50 sermon in my coat pocket, he said, and just kind of give my testimony. kind of saving that, you know. But the Apostle Paul, he didn't have that in mind. I mean, he didn't put anything in his coat pocket. He said, I kept nothing back that was profitable. You see that? I've kept nothing back that was profitable. Well, the argument among a lot of people today is this, that these sovereign gracers, all they preach is Christ and Him crucified. All they preach is the gospel. Why don't they preach some other things? There's other things in the Bible apart from the gospel. Are they? Are they? Huh? That's what the Bible's all about. The Bible's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Heard Brother Mahan say one time, he said that over in the Old Testament, the Old Testament, every offering, every sacrifice, all this was nothing but a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and says that Christ is going to come. He's going to come. Over here in the New Testament, it says He's here. He's here. And in the epistles of Paul and these brethren, it says He's here, and He's gone, and He's coming back again. Everything in the Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a man's main thought. Brother, if Christ is not your all, I mean if He's not your main thought, let's get out of it. Let's quit. Let's get out of this thing if He's not your main thought. And I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you and showed you, and I even went and taught you publicly from house to house, telling both of the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So is that all Paul had to say? There was a quaint Puritan. His name was Mr. Dodd. And Mr. Dodd was called by some people Old Mr. Faith and Repentance. Mr. Spurgeon said, if I die in the pulpit, I desire to die preaching repentance and faith. And he said, if I die out of the pulpit, I desire to die practicing repentance and faith. That's the gospel here. It's involved in the gospel. Now listen up here in verse 27 then of this 20th chapter of the book of Acts. He says again, I'm going to leave you and anticipate a death. And he said, I take you to record this day. I take you to record. I call in. I call in. And put your hand on the Bible. And I'll put my hand on the Bible. He said, I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. I taught you publicly and is needful and necessary for your well-being in time and in eternity. I've preached unto you repentance and faith. I've preached unto you the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, there's no blood. Paul could say that. I don't know whether you and I can say that or not, but he could. He said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Now he said, for I have not shunned, I have not neglected, I have not neglected to declare unto you all, A-L-L, and by the way, that's to be taken in an absolute sense there. In an absolute sense, I have not shunned, I've not held back, I've not neglected, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've preached it all to you. Now, in light of what is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he said, I came unto you, not in fear and trembling, so forth, but he said, I was determined. I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying that the man who preaches the gospel of the living Lord declares the whole counsel of God. And I don't want to hear anybody, when I'm through tonight out there, come out there and talk to me about practical Christianity. Yeah. I don't want you to come up to me and say, listen, why don't you preach something practical? Everything that's in the Bible relative to the gospel is relative, directly or indirectly related to the doing, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen to me. The greatest subject of human thought in the universe is what? The Lord Jesus Christ. All of it is fall flat compared with it. What are the sciences but human ignorances set forth in order? What are the classics but just a choice of words when compared to His Word? The artists, the poets, the philosophers are fools in His presence. All the beauty and the wisdom and the eloquence and the power in the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about the beauty of the dear Savior. The beauty of the dear Savior. James said, St. James said here tonight, we had the privilege to have St. James with us, and he said tonight, he said the believers didn't know much. He said, they don't know much, but they know something. Well, I'll tell you this, St. James, if a man ever knows God, whoo, what more does he want to know? What more is there to know, James, if a man knows God in Christ? Huh? That's all there are to know. Everything apart from that ain't worth knowing. Fall in the river and be done with it. The artists, the poets, the philosophers, fools in His presence. He alone is wisdom and beauty and eloquence and power. No theme or subject for thought can equal the Lord Jesus Christ. God allied in human nature. God becoming a man. Someone said God said man can't become God. That's so. That's so, you're 100% right there. But God can become a man. Oh, the beauty of that. God becoming a man. Oh, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I was able to exalt Him like He ought to be exalted. I can't even get on the fringe area. I can't even get to first base. I can't even get out of the batter's box. I can't even make a fireball. I can't even move an inch toward it. Not an inch. Oh, bless God, I wish I could tell you something of His beauty. Oh, of His beauty. The beauty of the... Let me tell you just this of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, it's beauty. It's beauty. They talk about His power and His Word and the fire and all. But this is beauty to me. That the Lord Jesus Christ came here. He came here to this world and allied Himself in human nature. In humanity, He was God manifest in the flesh. And He came with one mission, one purpose,
to glorify God in the salvation of those that God gave Him before time ever was. He came with that purpose. Now, He wasn't defeated. He wasn't frustrated. He accomplished all that God purposed Him to do. He did it all. It's over with. It's complete. It's finished. The sin business, as far as for His people is concerned, is settled and satisfied in Himself on the tree. But now the beauty of all this is this. To me, the Lord Jesus Christ came unasked for. Unasked for. No one asked for it. That grips me. That grabs me. No one asked for it. When Adam rebelled against God in the garden, and God was so merciful to him, Adam or his sons or their sons' sons, no one ever got off somewhere and said, "I understand what I am. I understand that I've violated, I've transgressed the mercy, the law, the grace of God in my rebellion. I've tried to kick God. Oh, won't someone send a Redeemer? Won't someone do something for me?" No one ever asked God. He came unasked for. He came unwanted. Unwanted. He came unto His own. But His own received Him not. They didn't want Him. They didn't want Him. He came back to His hometown one time. He came back to His hometown and stood in the synagogue and began to teach and preach. And you know what they said? They said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Huh? Oh, the beauty and the loveliness of our Lord Jesus Christ can be seen in what? In His willingness. He is willing. He is willing to do something for me. You ever had anybody willing to do anything for you without greasing the palm a little bit? Huh? Yeah, I'd be glad to do it. Grease the palm. Lay on that a 20, will you? I'd be glad to help you out. Ah, that's the way it is in this world. There's no such thing as willingness to do something apart from love, except in the hearts of true Christians. It's give and take here. But our Lord Jesus came, He is willing. He is willing. Now, He's willing to stand in my place, in my room, in my stead, and bear in His own body all that was due me as a sinner, as a God-hater, a rejecter of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to come in order that He might make God just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus Christ. He came in order that God's hands might be untied. Say, "God can do anything. He cannot dispense mercy at the expense of injustice." He can't do it. He can't do it no way under God's heaven, can He? If dispense mercy at the expense of injustice. If He does, He's got to vacate the throne. He's got to give up the idea of being God. Oh, the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. To come, He is willing. He is willing. To be made sin, to be made sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. He is willing. He is willing to do that. He come as a man. He hungered. He thirsted. He had energies that were taken away from him and perished and all those things. And listen, but He is willing. He is willing to do all that for me. Now, if a man's willing to do something, but he doesn't have the power to perform that which he's willing to do, his willingness is no good to me. Huh? This is the beauty of it. He is willing, and he is able, and he has the power to do what he is willing to do. Huh? He is willing! He is willing! He is willing to die in my stead. He is willing. He is willing to subject himself to the hand of the smiter. He is willing. He is willing to face the law. Face all that the law demanded. Every law. I don't care what kind of a law it was. They say the ceremonial law, the civil law. I can call anything you want to. Ten commandments, ceremonial law, civil law, all of them. He looked them straight in the face. He met them all head on. Head on. Obeyed them perfectly. He rendered unto God perfect obedience. Obedience. He was willing and he was able to perform that which he said he'd do. Did he do it? Did he do it?
God, he did. Is any wonder then, Dan, that this fella said that he stood there day and night, and from publicly and privately, and from morning to evening. He testified, he exhorted, he sprang to them concerning Jesus. And you want to talk about adultery? Our Lord Jesus Christ talked about it too. You want to talk about stealing? It's all of you. You say, well, I wish you'd have told me and I wouldn't have stole. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. No theme or subject for thought can equal the Lord Jesus Christ. God allied in human nature, becoming a man. God the infinite incarnate among the sons of men. God in union with humanity. He's the sum and the substance of all truth. He's the soul of life, the light of life, the heaven of heavens. Far more than I'm able to say. But I've noticed this, that those that pay homage to the shrine of practical theology have a tendency to become legal. They exchange the privileges of the believer that he is telling us about for the bondage of servants. Oh, but when a man takes Jesus, I better qualify that. When a man takes Jesus, you do, in a sense, and in a sense you don't. But when a man takes Jesus, when a man takes Jesus, man in his unregenerate state, man who hates God, man who was confused at his birth, man who's insane, man who doesn't know anything, doesn't know where he's gone, doesn't know anything spiritually, dead towards God, he's not so dead though that he can't rebel against God. Did you know that it takes God to exert more of His power to raise a dead sinner than it does a man dead physically? Why? Because a man dead physically, he says, live and it lives. He says to this fellow over here, come! And this fellow says, well, wait a minute. And he just keeps fighting him. But he gets him. Well, anyhow, listen, take Jesus. Mr. Bonnard said this. He said, you being unregenerate, you being a God-hater, you being an individual who hasn't got a minute of your time for God, and you say you take Jesus, you can take Jesus. He said, if you could take Jesus, he couldn't help you much if you got him. If you can take him, he couldn't help you much if you got him. You little Jesus. Little Jesus got wrapped up in the package on a shelf. Little Jesus trying to do something but can't do it. Little Jesus up there crying his eyes. If you got him, he couldn't help you. When a man takes Christ Jesus to be his mind's main thought, he has all things in one. He has doctrine, he has experience and practice combined. If you've got the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's what Paul's talking about. Listen, if he's the object of my thought and the object of your thought, then we have wine, we have milk, we have butter, we have honey, we have the fat of the kidneys, we have wheat, and bless God, we have oil in the rock. Oh, my son. Paul's a preacher here. That's what he preached concerning the Lord Jesus Christ from the start of the day until it was time to go to bed at night. That was his favorite subject. And he counted it a great privilege and also great responsibility to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read this verse of Scripture here to you, if I can find it. Someone hadn't moved it. Here it is, and it's not moved. Sometimes they shift around on me here. Chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, verse 8. Listen to this. I said that this is Paul's favorite subject.
Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Crucified. Crucified. Dead. Buried. On God's right hand. Lord over all flesh. That's his favorite subject. Now he said here that he counted a great privilege and also great responsibility to be sent to preach the gospel of the Son of God. Verse 8, he says, Unto me, Paul, a God hater, a Christ hater, who thought he was doing God a favor by killing people. He thought, actually, he was there when they stoned old Stephen. When they stoned old Stephen, he was holding their coats to stand back there and saying, get him, boys. Get him. Get him. I mean, do him in. Get him. Get him. He's wiggling. I mean, get your lick in. One. Get him. Get him. Get him. Now, this fella has made a 160-degree turnaround. Huh? Unto me. Unto me, Paul said. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints. You say, well, you sure is less than... I'm sure. Because he said that. He said it. He said that he was less than the least of all of them. Certainly, Paul wasn't the least of all that he said he was. Well, you say he was just trying to make conversation. Oh, no. Oh, no. Everything in this book is given by the inspiration of God. This is the inspired record here. He was the least of all the saints. I know what you think of him. I think he's the greatest preacher ever lived. That's what I think of him. All right? And he was. Who am less than least of all the saints in this grace given? That I should preach among the Gentiles the what? The unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never ceased to marvel that God would call him to preach the riches of the Son of God. I've never ceased to marvel either of you. You, Jim, you ever cease to marvel what God called you? I've seen so many fellas. I see you fellas preaching, I hear you preaching, and I say, my soul, Martha, what am I doing down here? Martha, what am I doing down here? I got to quit this business. I got to quit telling these fellas I'm going to come down there and preach. Got to quit that. Hear these fellas preaching. Oh, my soul. And I said, I'll get up there and I'll wobble and I'll stagger and I'll mispronounce words and I'll say this and that and I'll be embarrassed and they'll be embarrassed. I marvel that God would come down the hills of West Virginia. Single me out. Set me apart and sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart and teach me something. Teach me who God is and who I am. I never ceased to marvel. I never ceased. And folks say, you're a preacher. They say, well, are you a preacher? And I look around. I'm being honest with you. I'm being honest with you. I never tell anybody I'm a preacher. I never. Nowhere I go, I don't tell them. I say, who are you? I say, well, one time I told the fellow, he said, what do you do for a living? He said, I take the public's money. That's what I said. I said, I take the public's money. Let it go at that. Oh, my soul. Paul, listen, never cease to marvel that God called him to preach. To Paul, listen to me. Let's be serious. Just a minute now. Look at this. Paul said preaching was a solemn business. He said it's an all-important business. He said it's not a hobby. Not a hobby. Not something I do as a sideline. Not something I may act like I may act like I'm fooling around. But brother, it's no sideline to me. It's no sideline. I've tried under God by the grace of God to commit and to dedicate every drop of blood that runs through the veins of this body for His glory and for His. I know I haven't got done. I've lied, I've cheated, I've failed and all this. I know that. But I've went in that direction. I went in that direction. That's what I'm saying. Paul said it's all important. It's not a hobby. It's not a religious exercise or something that you just do on Sunday. To him, it was an ordained means to bring about an ordained end. end. He preached not because it was time to preach, or that he was expected to preach, but because he knew that preaching accomplished something. What does it accomplish? Well, let me show you. Over here in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 28. Listen, verse 28. What are we talking about? We're talking about this 28th chapter of the book of Acts and Paul's main subject and what he preached. He preached unto them from morning until evening out of the prophets and out of the writings of Moses concerning Jesus Christ. Now, why did the Apostle Paul? Why? Listen, here it is. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, what is it? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. That's it. The hope of glory. What's your hope? The hope of glory. Whom we preach. Whom we preach. Christ, the hope of glory. Whom we preach. That's what we preach. That's what we preach. We preach Christ. We preach a person, as Jim said. Whom we preach, and we warn every man. We warn every man in our preaching. Warn them. We tell them, you stay outside the ark, you're going to drown. We tell them that. We tell them that that ark over there in Noah's day, that Noah built, we tell them about that ark. We tell them that the door's open. The door's open. Get on the ark. Get on the ark. We tell them judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. We tell them God's going to punish sin. God's going to punish sin. God must and will punish every sin. Every sin that you've ever committed. Every rebellious act. Every obscenity. Every wicked thing. Every imperfection. God will make you recompense for that by way of punishment. He'll separate you throughout the... Warn every man. Warn every man. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. Come on. Get in the ark. Door's open. Get in the ark. So it won't come. It won't come. It won't come. All right. Paul said, I warn every man whom I preach. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Keep in mind now, he said, I shun not to declare anything. I didn't hold back anything publicly from you fellas. He said, I told you all the truth, the whole counsel of God. Oh, and then in another place he said, preach Christ and Him crucified. That's my main thought. And here he said, you can do this. Whom we preach, you can warn man. Gospel warns man. You obey not the gospel. He'll come in flame and fire, taking vengeance on those who obey not the gospel. In their heart. Teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present. What's Paul's aim? What's Paul's objective in preaching Christ from the morning until the evening? What's his objective? He said it's an ordained means. It's an ordained means to an ordained end. It's an ordained means, an ordained purpose of God Almighty to an ordained end. What? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That sounded to me like impossible. Present a man perfect. I mean, present a man before God when this thing's all over with. I know that he's talking about right now, but just think in eternity, when this thing's all over with. Some fella asked me not too long ago, he said, he didn't ask me directly, just indirectly. He said, what's your preacher believe about eschatology? What your preacher believe about eschatology? And he told that fellow, he said, our preacher believes that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, eternity comes with him. And he said, well, that ain't saying nothing. That ain't saying nothing. And the fellow come to me and said, well, he said you wasn't saying anything. I said, sound to me like I said something. I said, when he comes back, eternity. That's something, brother. Eternity's coming with him. Eternity. Oh. What do you believe about eschatology? Oh, my soul. He said, it's ordained. Well, what about it? All stand before God, and this thing's all over with, huh? He said, I'm going to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Not apart from Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus. See, your perfection is not in yourself. I know that you, a lot of good folks around here. Good, we qualify the word good. Good in light of the way we understand the word good in human language. You're good people. Well, you fellas are good. I believe you are. I believe you are. But I'm talking about perfection. Perfection. He said that he's going to present every man perfect before God. Every man. To be perfect before God means to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Why callest thou me good? He said there's only one good, and that's the Father, and that's who I am. Huh? I'm the Father. Why call me good? Do you know who I am? Did you just come up with that thought off the top of your head, or do you know who I am? I'm good. I'm perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God requires. He requires perfection. We're so far removed from what God requires, we don't even understand it when people preach to us about perfection. So far removed. Perfection, perfection. God will not accept anything less than what He is. I said lots of times, say it again, God will not speak to nor be spoken to from any member of this human race apart from perfection, apart from a sacrifice. He won't speak to you. He won't speak to you, or He won't let you speak to Him apart from perfection, apart from a sacrifice. That's the reason Paul preached concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Because only by and through the doing, the dying, the sweat, the toil, the tears, the sacrifice of the Son of God could this come about. You can educate men, still go to hell. You can make men morally good and still go to hell. And you can make men reform and they still go to hell. You see, reformation is not regeneration. And a change of heart is not a new heart. Man's got to be saved by the grace of God by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to be made to feel, to know his wickedness. He's far off from God. You know how far off you are from God tonight? You outside? You out here? You don't know the Lord Jesus? You don't know Him? You don't know Him? You wouldn't know Him if you met Him in the middle of the road, would you? Huh? Let me tell you how far off you are from Him. Let me tell you. Listen to me now. Tell you how far off you are from Him. You're so far off, God has to go back and get you. You can't come on your own. That's how far off you are. You're far off. I don't care if it's only a foot. You're so far off, you can't come. He's got to come and get you and find you where you are. And put you on His back up there and bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ and then never take you off His back. Throughout time unto eternity. An ordained end, or means to an ordained end. He said, may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to this working, which worketh in me mightily. Listen. A man, no wonder Paul was so excited about all this. Listen, why apart from this? Well, there's no other reason apart from this except Paul experienced this himself. What he preached, Paul experienced. If you haven't, can't come back where you haven't been. Is that what you say? That's what Henry said. That's what I say. You can't come back from where you haven't been. You can't tell what you haven't experienced. Paul tell what he experienced. Everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, what did he do? He told men that the Lord Jesus Christ met me head on the road to Damascus. He said, I ain't been the same since. Know what he said? He said, I quit talking about the law, start talking about Christ. That's all I talk about. Wherever I go, talk about Jesus. Talk about who He is. Talk about where I come from, why I come here, what He did, where is that? Why He did it and what He's doing right now. That's all I talk about, the Lord Jesus Christ. The sum and substance of everything I got to say is Christ and Him crucified. Listen to me. Listen to this. Men do not know that God has provided a righteousness for all believers. I said for all believers. He'd provide a righteousness for every single solitary soul that ever lived. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't die for every single solitary soul that ever lived. He died for those the Father gave Him. All the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that comes to me, him that gets to me, whether he crawls, where he runs, where he swims, how he gets there, I don't know, but if he gets to me, if he gets to me, if he lay hold of me, I won't cast him. Men don't know that God has provided a righteousness for all believers. For every soul born of Adam who believe in Christ, there's a perfect righteousness, not ours, but God's. God came here in human form, not bound to be obedient, but being found in fashion as a man, He became obedient. Obedient unto His own law, fulfilled every jot and tittle of His own law, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And His obedience, His righteousness is our righteousness, if we're believers. To that righteousness is the eye of the believer ever directed. On that righteousness must the believer rest. On that righteousness must he live. On that righteousness and in that righteousness he must die. And in that righteousness he must appear before God's judgment seat. In that righteousness he must stand forever in the presence of a righteous God who required it. In the presence of a righteous God who required it.